Welcome to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. My name is Patrick Rice, and I'm joined in the studio here with my brother in Christ, Dan Demite.
What's up, Patrick?
Dan, Encounter is a co-production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Yeah.
And Dan, today on Encounter, we have Dave Nodar, the founder and director of Christ Life.
Wow.
They are bringing new life into parishes, and they're giving hope. They're responding to the call to bring hope, discipleship, and training to a church that is desperately in need of the living power of God in Jesus Christ. I'm so excited
Amen.
For the show.
Yes, Dave is like a spiritual giant, so we are just blessed by his presence.
He's such
with
an amazing
us
father figure. Dan, before we go off any further, can you please lead us in prayer?
Yes, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Come, Holy Spirit, come upon your church. Pour out a new Pentecost upon us, Lord. We are so hungry for our parishes all across the world to just raise up with greater conviction, with greater zeal. Lord, we pray that you would fill us with apostolic love, that you would fill us with an apostolic mission, that we would just really see parishes come alive like never before, Lord. I pray for those who have fallen away from the faith, that they would return home, that we as Catholics would reach out to our lost brothers and sisters and we would bring them home. I pray that we would reach out to the unevangelized and we would bring them to the faith. Come, Holy Spirit, make of us great missionaries.
Father, I thank you that in Ephesians chapter 4, that you've called us to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ.
Mm.
Father, I thank you for what you're doing right now in our church, that you're raising up ministries, movements that have their eyes set on training up the saints to do the works of ministry, that we could do the works of Jesus and even greater works in our time, in our generation, that this nation would be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And we pray all this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. This is so good.
Yes. Praise the Lord.
So, Dan, Dave Nodar, awesome man of God. He's the founder and director of Christ Life. And Christ Life, what they do is they're focused on training disciples to make disciples. And we're talking about the new evangelization of bringing people that already know about Jesus to actually know Jesus, to truly make disciples.
Mm.
And we're in such a need of that. But I feel like, what do you feel like, what's the current status of our parishes, Dan? Can you speak into that?
Yeah, it's easy to kind of become despairing about our parishes, right? Sometimes we'll look at our parishes and we'll just grow frustrated. And I think, especially with listeners, like if you're listening to Catholic radio on a regular basis, you're probably pretty zealous about your faith and you're excited and you're learning and you're passionate. But it's easy to look at your parish and just be like frustrated, like, oh, why are they dead? You know, and Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapter 37, he has this vision of a valley of dry bones. And it says that the Lord, he walks Ezekiel out in the middle of this valley. And it was this valley just filled with a massive amount of dry bones. And it says everywhere he looked, there were dry bones. And I think sometimes we can kind of have that experience with our parish or with parishes, right? You like you go from one parish to another parish and you're just frustrated. You're like, ah, this is like a valley of dry bones, and I go to Mass and everyone just seems dead. Where's the energy? Where's the enthusiasm? Where's the passion? Like, don't you understand that Jesus Christ like suffered and died for your sake and rose from the dead, that we are a resurrected people? And it's my experience is often I just want to like go up to people and shake them, like, wake up, like, we have a God who is present on the altar. Jesus is here. Like,
I dare you,
do you
Dan.
See?
I dare you. Next time we go to Mass together, I'm going to point people
it's
out.
It's done. Go shake them.
Shake them,
shake
Dan.
Shake them during Mass. We'll just shake. Yeah, I'm game for that.
God told me to.
But this is what Ezekiel is experiencing, right? He sees this valley of dry bones, and God tells him this is the house of Israel. And I think this is where kind of the house of Israel, the Catholic Church, is right now, that we can be kind of in this moment of dry bones where the vast majority of Catholics are complacent and apathetic. And God, he doesn't want his church to be like that. And he promises through, and we see this promise fulfilled in Ezekiel, that he's going to bring to life the dry bones. And so he leads Ezekiel into the valley. And then he says, I'm going to place my spirit within you, bones, and you're going to breathe with my spirit. And Ezekiel starts to prophesy, as God calls him to, over these bones. And it says that they start coming together and the bones start rattling, which is pretty creepy. Like, imagine you're like in this like valley of dry, and all of a sudden these bones are like, rattling, and then they start coming together, and they form, and it says that there's flesh placed upon these bones, and there's sinews and ligaments placed on these bones, and they come together. But then it says, but there is no spirit in them, right? So it's possible to be, it's possible to have flesh, but not to be alive. Right. And it's possible to have flesh and bones, but not be alive. It's possible to go to Mass Sunday after Sunday to be a parish, but not be alive. And God says, not only do I want to bring these bones together and place flesh on them, he says, but there's no spirit in them. And then he says, but prophesy to the spirit, prophesy, son of man, and say to the spirit, thus says the Lord God, from the four winds, come, O spirit, and breathe into those slain that they may come to life. So it says, Ezekiel prophesied, I prophesied as he told me, and the spirit came into them. They came alive and stood upright, a vast army. And I believe this is what God wants to do in our church today. He wants us to be trained up to learn how to actually start activating within the apathetic, complacent people in our church. He wants us to breathe the spirit of God into our parishes so that we will raise up and be a vast army. I love it. It says they stood upright, right? You stand upright and they go from being dead to being an army. But Patrick, an army an army's not just formed overnight, right? An army goes through a process where they're trained. And the Holy Spirit, what he does is he brings the dead bones to life. He trains them with his gifts, and then he empowers them to be an army. And Christ's life is doing that, right? They're empowering people and training people to be an army for the Lord.
So my question to our listeners, if you're in a parish that's might be dead or lacking this like vibrancy, what do you see? Do you see a parish that has died, or do you see a parish that's about to come to life? That
yes,
the dead are going
you,
to come to life through the power of the Holy
Spirit.
It's
all about our mindset.
What do you see? And I feel like this is so hopeful. If you're in that situation where there's not a lot going on, like you need to see prophetically, like what he did, what Ezekiel did was he called forth what was not as though it was, and then the Holy Spirit flew in. He called forth what was not as though it was, and then God came through and backed him up.
Yeah, what a prophet does, and we're all called to be priest, prophet, and king by right of our baptism. What a prophet does is he hears the word of God, and then he speaks the word of God. And Ezekiel was able to hear clearly what God was asking him to do, and then he spoke that word, right? He prophesied over the bones. He spoke that the Spirit would come, and then it happens. Like, God, when we speak fearlessly the word of God, we can change the circumstances. We can change environments. And so, Patrick, who's God calling to awaken parishes?
He's calling everybody. Everybody
exactly.
That has the Spirit of God living within them.
It's your job, listeners. We are all called and we're equipped to bring about revival in the Catholic Church.
So, Lord, I pray that right now, in Jesus' name, that you would fan into flame the gift of the Holy Spirit that they received in their baptism, in their confirmation. Holy Spirit, I ask you to come with your love,
come, Holy
with
Spirit.
Your fire,
thank
that you
Jesus.
Would give people a vision beyond the natural, God, beyond the horizontal. They look up to God. Father, I pray that you commission people with an anointing to bring new life and revival back into the Catholic Church, into parishes, Lord, that there would not be a spirit of condemnation and judgment, but a spirit of prophetic new life and insight, of strategies and solutions to every problem and every dryness in Jesus' name.
Amen.
That's a good word.
Yes, that is a great word.
Thank you, Holy Spirit,
God
for giving
doing
that
this.
One.
And if, we have a Father who keeps his promises.
Amen.
And the Father does not want a dead church. And so it's not just about you, right? You don't have to rely on your own strength. It's the Father is sending his Spirit to renew his church.
So good. Here's another thing I really want to focus on is that God has given gifts of the church. I mean, there's three, Paul gives three lists of spiritual gifts.
Mm-hmm.
In Romans 12, he gives, there's a listing of gifts. And
yep.
Then in 1 Corinthians 12, there's another listing of gifts. And then in Ephesians 4, there's a third listing of gifts. Now in in 1 Corinthians 12, he talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
In Romans 12, he's just talking about the gifts of God. And then in Ephesians 4, he's talking about the gifts of Jesus. Now some scriptural scholars have said the Romans 12 gifts are gifts from the Father because it's just referring to God. And whenever God is just referred to, it's there's a sense that it's just the Father. But then in 1 Corinthians 12, you have the Holy Spirit. But in Ephesians 4, it's the gifts of Jesus. And he talks about these. He said, and his gifts were that some should be apostles, some should be prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. So like Jesus was all five of those things. He was an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a pastor, and a teacher.
Yes, he was.
And so what Jesus, what these gifts of Jesus is that there's an anointing for these aspects of his life. Why? So that's verse 11, that he's raising up people to be these gifts in the church. He says, verse 12, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we attain the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So, Dan, the gifts of Jesus are manifestations that we are enabled to train people up to look like Jesus, to love like Jesus, to walk like Jesus, to heal like Jesus, to have the full stature and knowledge of Christ. Amen. And that's what I feel like when I see what Dave Nodar is doing, through Christ's life, this is it's completely given over to training up saints to know Jesus and then to be able to minister and build up the church. And that's exactly what we need.
Yeah, I mean, I just love the name of the ministry, Christ's life, right? It has this expectancy that we are called to live Christ's life in the world. And his life is meant to be manifested in us. Pauline theology is very simple. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. He wants all of his graces to be manifest in my life so that I can bless others.
That's so good. Now, I think one of the most important things too, and I know he's going to talk more about this, is that Christ's life is not just another program, like another Bible study you pop out of the box or a DVD that you throw in. They actually train up leaders in their conferences, people that are first of all, equipped. They get trained up so that they can train other people up. And I don't know any other ministries that are effectively focused on discipling their leaders so that they can go back to their parishes and do these works. Now, Jesus, I love it. They called him rabbi. They called him teacher. That we need to actually be taught by the rabbi. And that's what discipleship is that there's an element of teaching that is so important. It's not just this encounter that we have, but there's this teaching that goes into it as well.
Yeah, I think just listeners, if you're looking at your parish and you're a little, if you want something new and fresh in your parish, Dave's story is going to be a great story for us to say, okay, maybe this is the solution. Maybe Christ's life can really revive our parish community and allow us not just to get some quick fix, but actually transform the entire deep roots of the parish and make it an apostolic community.
And I love like the start is actually, yes, there are so many Catholics we know from the Valley of the Dry Bones that are just going through the motions.
Yeah.
But praise God that they're still there.
Yeah.
Right? Praise God that they haven't
burned out.
At least
we have bones to work with, right?
Yeah. I thank you, Jesus, that we've got bones to work with, right?
We'll take it. We'll take it, Lord.
And so I think it starts there, like how we've got them. Where do we start off with? How do we get the Spirit into them in a more active way that it's stirred up? And then it doesn't stop there. There's so many so many things out there that just kind of stop with personal relationship, but ends up going further than being able to share Christ in this life that we have. And I love that there's this, they don't stop, and there's ways of going further and deeper and then giving them the connection that they need, their leaders need to continue in that mission.
Yeah, if you're listening today, you may be a disciple of Jesus Christ, and God is so pleased. He wants us all to be disciples, right? And the Lord, he doesn't simply call the disciples just to follow him, but he calls them to be disciple makers. And so we want to be disciple making disciples. And so I just want to encourage all of our listeners, and I pray that the Holy Spirit would bless you with his graces, that you wouldn't just be a follower and a fan of Jesus, and you wouldn't just be a follower and a fan of Catholic radio, but that you would actually be a disciple making disciple.
That's so good. So Dan, we're going to take a break right now. And on the other side, we're going to bring on Dave Nodar to share his life-changing encounter with Jesus and how that launched him into this life of an extraordinary mission of transforming Catholic parishes. So you're listening to Encounter, a co-production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. We'll be right back.
CNA, the online service from EWTN News, is the only Catholic news source that's fast, reliable, and free with blogs, stories, opinions, and analysis, all at your fingertips. For the latest Catholic news, visit CatholicNewsAgency.com.
This is Cy Kellett. Join me for Catholic Answers Live. It's 2 hours dedicated to Catholic apologetics and evangelization. Designed for Catholics and non-Catholics alike, it's your opportunity to hear from and talk with some of the leading apologists and theologians in the church today. You've got questions? We've got Catholic answers. Catholic Answers Live, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Father Mitch Pacwa.
Sin does not unite people, doesn't bring them together. Sin causes division and divides people up.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. And we are pleased and privileged and honored to have on the show with us Dave Nodar.
Yeah, welcome to the show,
to Encounter, Dave. You're awesome.
Thank you very much. Great to be here with you guys and with your audience.
Awesome. Dave, can you just start with your testimony? How did you come to experience and encounter the love of Jesus?
Yeah. Well, I was brought up in the United States in Baltimore, Maryland, for those outside of the U.S., right above Washington, D.C. And I was brought up during the 50s and 60s in a Catholic family. And pretty normal kind of experience of church life and saying our prayers for before meals and learning to say some prayers before I went to bed at night. And then when I reached my teen years, something radical happened. Our family, every Sunday night, would watch this entertainment show. And four guys from Liverpool appeared on it, and the Beatles. And I pointed at the screen and said, that's what I want to do. And they really acted, in a certain respect, as those who were proclaiming a way of life and a whole way to understand meaning in life. It wasn't just what they were singing about. It was more about this lifestyle that they were generating that was having major impact on young people really across the world. And so I quickly learned how to play guitar and started playing in rock and roll bands locally. The bands were fairly popular. And because of just the whole lifestyle of playing in rock and roll bands and increasingly becoming part of this countercultural hippie lifestyle, I really experienced a lot of things that really would be better for most people not to experience.
Mm.
But by the time I was 19, from 13 to 19, just these several years as a wee lad, I was already recognizing this is not doing it. All the things that were held out and promised to give me life were, in fact, not giving me life. And I remember being at a party one night with my girlfriend and surrounded by all these people I knew and friends, and suddenly, just in all the noise and laughter and music going on and everything, suddenly became very aware of this deep ache inside of myself. And my immediate reaction was, there's got to be a better party in town somewhere. But something had happened where I realized everything that had been promised to me by this way of life was not doing it. And so in 1970, at 19 years old, the Lord in his mercy sent four different people to me. The first was my Irish grandmother who lived with my family, who was finding herself increasingly distressed about the state of her grandson. And she pulled me aside and basically said, Dave, I'm really worried about you. And I'm committing to saying three rosaries a day for you.
Oh, boy.
Whoa. Dun, dun,
what,
dun.
What went through your mind when you heard
checkmate.
That?
Checkmate.
Yeah, well, you know, later I was realized busted. But at the time, really, I was saying, okay, thank you, Grandma, and there's one on my way. But, you know, that key point that she was praying faithfully for me, asking for the intercession of Mary, was really significant later on. So the second thing that happened, my parents got involved with a New Testament Bible study at Loyola University here locally, which was absolutely foreign to Catholics at that time. And one night my mom came home and said, "Hey, Dave, would you like to read the New Testament?" And because of the ache and because of an increasing sense of hunger, I said, "Yeah." And the reality was I consumed it. And the Gospels particularly were so impactful on me of actually reading personally this testimony of Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, and the great love that he held towards all people. It wasn't just those who were doing good, who were church-going Jews, but it was for everybody and anybody. Everybody was invited to sit at table with him to experience the Father's love through him. Mm. And so just having the opportunity to read the Gospels was so impactful. And for anybody who's listening, who's never read the Gospels, I just encourage you, read them for yourself. All I had ever heard was the Gospel readings at Mass. But hearing and reading them myself, seeing that, hey, Jesus was a friend of sinners. He welcomed me. That was huge. The third thing that happened was a young, newly ordained priest befriended me. And when I would go to Mass, I would notice, because of my long hair and the way I dressed as a hippie, you know, some people were scowling at me, and it was easily observed. And this priest just reached out to me and started getting me involved in things. He didn't criticize me. I wasn't particularly concerned about my lifestyle yet, but he was reaching out and drawing me towards himself in relationship, and befriending is such a critical thing. Without judgment, that's like Jesus, right?
Yeah.
That's how the Lord is.
Yeah, he hung out with the hippies of his day.
He did.
AKA sinners.
Yeah. So he welcomed sinners. So that was next, and then the last thing was a fellow hippie friend who was not raised as a Christian, raised as a Jehovah Witness. Came to encounter Christ through the faith of an elderly Baptist man. And he invited me to his house in January 1971, along with my girlfriend and a bunch of friends. And he sat us all down and looking at me, said, "Dave, Jesus changed my life, and he can change yours."
Yes.
And I had been trying to get my act together, so to speak. I was trying to stop doing a lot of things that I knew were wrong. But it was very difficult because of all my friends were doing the same stuff. Your environment, your relationships are really critical. And I was trying to stop doing a set of things and just couldn't find the power, the strength to change. And he was noticeably changed. I mean, he had stopped a whole lot of sinful behavior, wrong conduct. He was not doing drugs, you know, alcohol, I mean, drinking, getting drunk. And he attributed it to Jesus, the person of Jesus, in relationship with him. So that was major league impactful for me. And over the next few months, from January till March, everything in my life started falling apart. And, you know, I broke up with the girl I was going with, broke up with me. Our band broke up. And last, the final nail in the coffin was the Beatles broke up.
No! The lifestyle failed.
Know, the whole life that had been promised to me, all the things that were going to bring fulfillment, they were gone. But it was much more deeply gone because I had realized all of this stuff does not bring the promise of life. So I called this guy up on the phone March 11th. 1971, and said, "I want what you have, and I don't know how to get it." And so I went out to his house, and he basically told me without any explanation, "Get down on your knees. This is how you do it. Get down on your knees and simply pray out loud to Jesus." And for me, as a young adult Catholic, you know, all I'd been taught was the prayers of the church, and maybe your cry for help when you were coming up against a hard exam at school or something like that. But he was just saying, no, sincerely, pray from your heart. You know, you want to ask Jesus to be the center of your life. Turn from the way you've been going and turn to him. So I sincerely prayed, Jesus, help me. Mm. And immediately experienced my whole body experientially flooded with the love of God, with a sense of forgiveness of my sins, and this incredible sense of this power, this love that I was experiencing, being the power that could change me from the inside out. All the stuff, all the junk that I wanted to deal with that I couldn't do on my own, I realized by the mercy of God, Jesus was giving us the Holy Spirit to empower us to live an entirely new life. And that was the beginning of a new life. And I actually blurted out, Jesus, I never want to leave you again, even though I had never experienced him personally like that. It was this life-changing demarcation for my life where I found the true meaning of life is found in Jesus.
Wow. So, Dave,
I
love, whoa. I love it. The thing that hit me is, like, as a Catholic, you never learn how to do that. But as a Catholic, we did know to get down on our knees in prayer.
Yeah.
We did know that this is what we're supposed to do. But this element that he gave you was the gift of faith through his relationship with Jesus. And when we carry that and we share what God's done with us, it can become the door for another person. So, like, just the power of testimony, the power of a transformed life is like the initial ingredient toward in the recipe of holiness. That's so good. So, Dave, we're actually going to take a break right now. I just want to let our listeners know you're listening to Encounter, a co-production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. And when we return from the break, we're going to continue to hear from Dave Nodar, the founder and director of Christ Life.
Open Line Tuesday with Father Wade Meneses.
The Catechism is very clear in Numbers 10:33, 10:35, and 10:37 that it takes only one mortal sin to have one go to hell by their own doing. God sends no one to hell.
Open Line with Father Wade Meneses, Tuesday afternoon, 3 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
And we need to pray for all our world leaders and all those who are in such danger. See, in a day and age where people are getting further away from God, you get further away from goodness. Only God is good. You remember what our Lord said one day? Why do you call me good? He said, only God is good. Only God.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Welcome back to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. Encounter is a co-production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. And we have back on the show with us Dave Nodar, the founder and director of Christ Life International. And before the break, Dave, you shared with us this amazing conversion experience of just of coming to Jesus and being empowered by the Holy Spirit. But Dave, you were raised Catholic and you had never had this experience. How is that possible?
Yeah, great question. And this is really important for all of us to understand. You know, we receive the Holy Spirit in baptism and confirmation. So we have this incredible power dwelling in us. But for many Catholics, we were baptized as infants. And our sponsors are the ones who stand in this place of faith. For any sacrament, there needs to be the objective and the subjective. Objective is what God does. The subjective is what we do. Or another way of saying it, God's the one who provides the grace, the empowering presence. And we're the ones that have to have this faith to say yes to him. So we have this gift that's given to us through the sacraments of initiation. And for many of us, we never have had an opportunity to ratify it. It's supposed to happen at the Easter Vigil, but most of us don't recognize there has to be an adult recognition, a ratification of these promises that were made at baptism. So what happened for me when this man, you know, had me kneel down and pray out to Jesus was an affirmation or a ratification of saying, yes, I want Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of my life. Yes, Jesus, you are the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit, as Pope Benedict had frequently said. You know, that's the stirring up of baptism and confirmation, is to ask Jesus now, presently, to baptize us in the Holy Spirit. So it's taking this Christmas gift that's tucked away, this gift of Christ, gift of the Holy Spirit that's tucked away in our lives, and allowing it to be released in power by a surrender personally to Jesus as Lord, and asking him to renew us in the power of the Holy Spirit given in those sacraments. And that's precisely what happened to me. And I know that really, for me now, at this point in my life, that's a really important thing to bring to Catholics, not only those in the church, but those who've dropped out, the millions and millions of Catholics who've dropped out, who would say they're Catholics, but aren't living any kind of Christian lifestyle. It's a cultural thing. And for all of them, that's the truth, that they can come into this power. And really, for the unbaptized, it's the point of initiation. Same thing, surrender to the Lordship of Christ and asking for the power of the Holy Spirit. For the unbaptized, then they go on to receive the sacraments and be initiated into the church. Wonderful.
Awesome. Dave, this is good, so good news. That's probably one of the best depictions of it. Like, I think where we are right now, and I absolutely love it. Your teaching is so solid. So, Dave, after this happened, okay, you had this experience. What was the next thing that happened in your life?
Well, you know, let me say this first of all. Fruit. You may not. If you're in your car listening to this on the radio, or you're sitting at home listening to it, wherever, you can make this commitment to Jesus as Lord. And the fruit of it may not be the same as I experienced. And mine was very experiential, to sense God's love just throughout my whole being. But the fruit is what you're looking for. God's faithful. If you pray a commitment to Jesus as Lord, asking for renewal and Holy Spirit, God the Father will send his love, release his power in you. So you may not see it right then, but he's faithful and he'll do it. So you want to look for fruit in your life. So for myself, I found myself actually wanting to pray. And I don't mean just the prayers of the church, which are important for us, but I actually wanted to spend time with God. And I found the scriptures just becoming alive, being really, as the church and the saints teach, a love letter from God the Father to me. All of a sudden, there was now words for me. The sacraments, I really believed that communion was the body and blood of Jesus present for me to empower me for the journey now. So all these things came alive, and also community. I wanted fellowship with others. I wanted to be with others who really believed in the Lord and wanted to live for him. And finally, how could you not tell others about this love that I had experienced? I mean, just a clear fruit of encountering Jesus' love is to be able to tell others that reality. Pope Francis says, every Christian is a missionary because they're baptized, and to the extent that they've encountered the love of God in Christ Jesus. So here's the thing. I could not tell people.
Yep.
You know, I mean, this is so awesome. I mean, I'm honestly thinking, why isn't everybody Christian?
Yep.
And so I want to tell everybody about it. And so I started a Bible study with no knowledge of how to lead a Bible study. But I figured, you know, the Gospels had such impact on me, I wanted to get anybody and everybody, whether they were baptized or unbaptized. I wasn't particularly concerned about that. I just wanted everybody to know about the love of God. And so we started a Bible study, and we started with 1 Corinthians only because, as hippies, I thought that would be cool because chapter 13 focuses on love. And we never got any further than chapter 3. Because what would happen is every week somebody would bring somebody else who they had witnessed to the love of God about and said, come on along, we've got this group that's getting together to read the scriptures together, and it's a great time. We pray and talk with each other, and we pray for one another. And one of the things that was great was not only were we, and this was the most significant thing, was we were seeing many people coming to faith in Christ, surrendering their lives to Jesus as Lord, but we were also seeing people healed of different physical conditions as a result of praying with them, because we'd read the Gospels and see that was what happened. Then we read the Acts of the Apostles and see that was a normal part of evangelizing people. And so we were just doing it.
Yeah, yes. you let the scriptures become and determine your experience. So, like, do you have a? Is there a story that you remember of like a healing? I love healing
like
stories.
One of your early healing.
Yeah, well, we had numbers of them, and one of my favorites is because my closest friend is a Jewish Christian, a Messianic Jew. He's a pastor of a small church now. But he was a cultural Jew. We went to school together, and he was noticing the changes in my life and came to a point where he surrendered to Jesus as Lord of his life, had this incredible encounter with God personally. And he had tonsillitis and a busted-up knee, severely damaged knee. And simply by being together, by prayer and encountering the Lord, he was healed both. I mean, just instantly, it was gone. So, that would be
praise
pretty simple. We just prayed with people for whatever, you know, in terms of not knowing better and also feeling like we knew that Jesus, that this was, when Jesus teaches us to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Trinity, teaching them to observe all that he taught us, part of what he taught us was to pray for the sick.
Mm-hmm.
And so we see and understand that to be something that's part of what the Lord wants all the baptized to do. And it's particularly important if we're evangelizing, because there's all these opportunities to pray for people. And even if we don't see them healed, which is often the case, they still know that somebody loves them, and oftentimes they experience an opening in terms of God's grace and love for them personally.
That's
into that.
So good.
That is very
it's so
good.
Simple.
Yeah. Jesus says to do it, so we do it.
We do it. So, Dave, you're having these meetings, and signs, wonders, and miracles are happening just because you have faith that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So what happened? How big did these meetings get, Dave? Can you give me an idea?
Yeah, there are probably 200, 300 young adults, and
that's a lot of hippies.
All kinds of people would show up. We had Catholic and Protestant clergy and religious sisters coming. And I'd say one of the things that was going on was people noticed the way we loved one another. This friend of mine, the young priest at the time, who's now a bishop, said, you could get four different Catholic theologians come in here. They couldn't explain what's going on other than that there's this great sense of love going on among you and for God. That's what's having the major impact. So it was really something quite remarkable, and focused on loving God and loving one another.
Wow, so good. So after these meetings, what was the next season of life?
Yeah, the group that was sort of like the volunteer team to put on these prayer meetings weekly. We had a sense that we wanted to be committed to one another for more than an activity. We wanted to be committed to be together with one another as a community. And it was actually an ecumenical community, predominantly Catholics. It was recognized by our archbishop at the time here in the Archdiocese of Baltimore. But it was made up of Catholics and Christians of various traditions, Messianic Jews, being together. But we wanted to be together to serve as a witness. Basically, again, going back to this thing that was happening in the prayer meeting, see how they love one another. And we wanted to be committed to our own churches and yet be together on a grassroots level. So we all went to our own churches Sunday morning, and then we had small groups for discipleship, and we'd meet, you know, these large gatherings of several hundred adults and an equal number of kids in the late afternoons on Sunday. So it really, really took on a life that was of being, trying to be a missionary community that was a witness of Christian unity and of a lifestyle that we believed really the Lord wanted to impact culturally the parishes, the denominations that we were part of.
Wow, that's like so revolutionary.
That's so good. Okay, so I know that you ended up going to Eastern Europe and doing a lot of like crazy ministry stuff. What's the story on that?
Yeah, you know, I a number of people started commenting that they felt like the Holy Spirit was going to lead me into work in Europe. And this wonderful ministry called Youth with a Mission first asked me to go over in 1991. I had a lot of connections with the international communities movement that I was part of, so I had an opportunity to serve in those in Europe and other places. And then as a result of a connection with a dear friend who's now deceased, John Wimber, a Protestant pastor from a group called the Vineyard Movement, John took me under his wing, so to speak, mentored me in terms of equipping Christians to be able to move in the Holy Spirit for the sake of mission, to learn how to use power gifting, praying for healing, and discerning information for people's lives to encourage them and bring them deeper into the love of God. And John was invited to do this ecumenical gathering in Warsaw, Poland in 1994, and he invited myself and Dr. Ralph Martin to go. Ralph, because of his international reputation, and myself, because I was doing seminars in physical healing and learning how to use the gifts for mission. And that opened up a whole doorway into these opportunities to do schools of evangelization for Catholic young adults from the former Soviet bloc.
Wow.
Wow.
Talk about, like, hunger. You haven't had God for, like, 50 years, and there's a real need for, there's, like, a vacuum.
Yeah. What were those conferences like? Like, how did the Lord work in different ways or mightier ways because of that hunger?
Yeah, well, I'd say the two levels. One, briefly, these large conferences that I ended up doing that were similar to what John had done. John and Ralph and I did this conference with several thousand Christians, predominantly Catholic. Obviously, it was in Warsaw, Poland. And there was such an opportunity to teach very basic kind of solid things about our Catholic faith and Christian faith, but also for opportunities for ministry and for clinics to help people to learn how to minister effectively outward in terms of evangelizing. And I've met people, that was back in 94, I've met people recently who were impacted by that conference. One woman works in the Archdiocese of Krakow, Poland, in the exorcist's office, and it was at that meeting that something changed for her. So I continued doing large conferences in Poland and Slovakia afterwards with similar kind of things happening. But the more important thing to me was we started doing these schools that were explicitly Catholic schools of evangelization, where we had an opportunity, and I would teach on the kerygma, the basic gospel proclamation for these young adults, maybe to have 40 young adults from all over Eastern and Central Europe, and then make sure that they understood the gospel and understood its ramifications, its intent for them to help bring them to a commitment. Then after making that gospel presentation, lead them into, it's not enough just to have this personal commitment to Christ. We need to become his followers. So dealing with just basics of discipleship, and then on to mission and talking about basics about how do we evangelize, including the whole idea that the charisms are really intended to be part of the equipping of the baptized to be able to help, you know, confirm the truth of what we're saying. So that was a wonderful time. And, if we have time, I can give you examples.
Yeah, give us one story.
Yeah, well, that's wonderful is a young woman named Hannah was serving in, we had a kitchen we all served as volunteers, rotated what we did. It was a live-in school of evangelization over a couple months. And this lady, Hannah, was in the kitchen at the time that I was teaching. And after the teaching, I would do a clinic where we had an opportunity to learn how to use the particular gifts we were talking about. And she came into the room to get something. And I felt like the Lord said something for her. So I said, Hannah, before you leave, I feel like the Lord saying, like Samuel's mother, Hannah, in the Old Testament, in 1 Samuel, where she was barren, she was going to bear this child. And with you, you're going to bear many spiritual children. Well, that's back in, I don't know, 95, 96, somewhere in that period of time. She's a young woman. She is now consecrated, you know, living single for the Lord, woman, Catholic, who's working in Turkmenistan and Kazakhstan, which is predominantly Muslim countries.
Wow.
And she said that launched her in a conviction to be a missionary. She's working predominantly Muslim countries. She's got a missionary house now where she's helping support Catholic missionaries, you know, having a place to rest and learn more about how to move in power. And she's seeing Muslims who are having dreams of Jesus then coming and asking if she'll pray with them. They don't understand who Jesus is. They don't understand much about him. Knowing that she's a Catholic, can she tell them more? So that's just one
wow.
of numbers of situations many years later where you see the fruit of being able to draw people into commitment to Jesus as Lord, empowered by the Holy Spirit, learning basics of discipleship, of how to live for Christ in holiness, you know, fully given to him, and then be on mission for him in the power of the Spirit.
That's amazing, Dave. I think, you know, earlier we were talking about how a prophet hears the word of God and then speaks the word of God. And a lot of times we fall short in that we're either not spending time to hear the word of God, or maybe we hear it, but then we're afraid to speak it. And you just hearing the word of the Lord speaking to your heart at that moment, and then you speaking it forth into Hannah's life, it enabled her to receive that word and then actually live that word. And it's just that the boldness, listeners, we just need to be bold. That when we hear God convicting our heart of something, not to be afraid to speak it to another person, to encourage them. Like, I see this quality in you. God wants to bless you in this way. And to really boldly share what God is speaking to your heart for others, and not to cower back in fear. Because what if you didn't speak that word that day? Maybe Hannah would have never have walked confidently in her call.
This is amazing, Dave. So I see like God pouring his life into you, using you to train up other people. And then how did Christ's life come? Was that like the next season?
Yeah, it was. In fact, in 1989... in my own personal prayer, I felt like from Isaiah 43, verses 18 and following, it says, "Forget the former things, don't dwell on the past. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Do you not yet perceive it?" And that was the beginning of several years in which numbers of people, when I traveled internationally, I'd have somebody come up and say, you know, hand me the slip and say, "I feel like, you know, when I was praying for you, this is something the Lord said." It was the same passage. And I recognized that the Lord was leading me into, if you will, a new assignment. And by 95, and really much attributed to my experience of conversion, the community life of learning how to disciple people, the mission schools, all of that came together. In 95, I began Christ Life as a result of all those experiences in life that really, you know, sort of focused down. And here's what happened was not only my own personal convictions in my own prayer life and sharing that, discerning that with other leaders and spiritual director and so on, but also St. John Paul's constant call to the fact that we can enter into a time of apostolic springtime if we respond with generosity and holiness. And I felt like, you know, you've given me some things, Lord. You know, I'm just me. Just little old me. I mean, I'm, you know, just an ordinary guy, but I've got some experience from you, and I want to be able to commit that to your service. And it really became clear that I was supposed to start a Catholic ministry of evangelization to do precisely the things we've been talking about.
Mm. Wow. And that started, was that Baltimore?
That's right. Yeah. In December of 95, I went to our Archbishop, then Cardinal Keeler, and submitted to him the idea of starting a Catholic ministry of evangelization. He was so psyched, so excited, so elated that any Catholic, bishop, clergy, you know, religious laity would actually be doing evangelizing and wanted to teach others how to do it. So he established us as an apostolate of the Archdiocese right away.
Yes.
Wow. So, Dave, can you give our listeners an overview of what Christ Life does, the program, the training?
Yeah. Well, you know, we are a ministry committed to the work of evangelization so that anybody, all people, baptized and unbaptized, young adults and older, can personally encounter Jesus Christ and be transformed into missionary disciples in the context of the church. And so we do that by personally being committed, our team, you know, and those who around the world who are becoming sort of part of this grassroots movement, personally evangelizing in our own communities. So I do that not only one-on-one, but as part of my parish. You know, we want to be on mission. We do. We also do our mission by producing resources, DVDs, booklets, and so on. We do training events, which is crucial to learn how to use our resources. And then partnering with Catholics to be a network of evangelizers who are together contributing to the essential mission of the church.
Yes.
So, we've had something like 80,000 people impacted by the Christ Life series in 730-plus parishes in many states and in several countries. And what we basically want to do is have a process that's workable, it's doable, something that parishes and other ministries can use. And it's a process of making missionary disciples. So the first course, 7-week DVD course, that you really want to get training for is an experience that invites anybody to encounter the love of God and of the Father, and, you know, by a renewal of commitment to Jesus as Lord and being empowered by the Spirit. Second course on discipleship called Following Christ, 7-week journey to see that really it's not about just a commitment. It's about really the transformation of our lives by the grace given to us in God and through His church. And then finally, sharing Christ, learning to get on with the mission personally and together as parishes or various ministries. So this could be used in campuses. You know, it's used in prison ministries, in business settings, all kinds of different kind of places now. But it's primarily so that parishes can actually begin to make missionary disciples. And it starts with those who are the team becoming missionary disciples who in turn want to disciple others.
Yes, I love that.
That's
I love that.
Good.
80,000 people. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, just in the last 8 years, you know, since we committed it to DVD, we're just so humbled and privileged to be part of something the Lord's doing, one small part of the many things of God's initiatives that are springing up right now.
That's so good. So, Dave, I'm in a parish. I might be just a really good lay guy that wants to get something going, or I might be a staff member. I'm hearing Dan and Patrick talk and fully endorsing this Christ Life ministry. How do I learn more about it?
Yeah, if you go to our website, and I'm sure you'll give the information on that, or should I give it?
Yeah, go ahead and give it.
Yes, it's Christ Life, one word, ChristLife.org. And if you go there, there's all the information. And it includes where we do conferences. We do them frequently for archdioceses and dioceses, pretty much monthly. We also go out to parishes and do training. We do staff training for parishes and dioceses on various subjects that are pertinent to what we feel like the Lord wants us to give to others. And you can see some of the DVD, you know, examples online. You can actually rent them, stream them if you'd like to see them. But the key thing is to get training to be able to do this process. It's not a program. So as I think Dan had said early on, it's not a plug in a Bible study and just watch. It's an experience where you want to model something. So we have a free dinner. You know, we want to have hospitality for that first course, Discovering Christ, so that, you know, people who haven't been in the church or who've been away from the church feel comfortable and welcomed. You know, so there's a lot of things we want to teach about how we evangelize others by showing love to them. So getting to one of these training events or setting up a training event with us is the place to start. You can learn about all of it.
That's so good.
The website
awesome.
Or contacting us by email.
Thank you so much,
Dave. Everyone, go to ChristLife.org. We have 1 minute left. We're going to just close in prayer. So in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. Father, I thank you so much for what you're doing in the church. If there's anybody listening right now that has been in that place of not being fulfilled in Jesus, I just pray that God, you give them the grace to go into the secret place and to call, Holy Spirit, I need you. Jesus, I need you in my life. I want you to start working right now.
Yes, Lord. Lord, I just want you to raise up our listeners right now. If they see the Valley of Dry Bones and they've been convicted that they need to do something about it, Lord, I pray that you would activate them to reach out to Christ's Life or to start an apostolate of their own in their parish just to do something, Lord, to bring the dead to life. Come, Holy Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Dave, thank you so much for being on the
Dave,
show.
Thank you.
Yes.
My pleasure.
Amen.
Great to be with you.
Amen. Thank you so much. And thank you all our listeners. Encounter Radio is a co-production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. To learn more about us or our show, go to encounterradio.org. That's encounterradio.org.